Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School, and if you have your Bible, you may want to turn to John chapter 14. We're studying an old Sunday school lesson about how Jesus comforted his disciples. And we're going to begin in just a moment looking at John chapter 14, verses 6 and 7, where Jesus said unto him, now that's unto Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, leading up to that, we read this, John 14, beginning in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know the way. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest. How know we the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the subheading in this old Sunday school lesson is only one way of salvation. Now, before we get into this lesson, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And the Sunday school lesson we're looking at today was written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of January the 25th, 1925. And here's this subheading, Only One Way of Salvation. Let's look at John 14, 4 and 5. Jesus said, And whether I go, you know the way. Jesus had told the apostles plainly about his departure and where he was going, but Thomas said, Lord, we know not whether thou goest. How know we the way? These declarations were not clear to Thomas, but he sought to understand them. And so it is in John 14 and verse 6 where Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now Jesus was going to the Father. That's in John 14, 28. And to all men, he is the only way to the Father. Although soon to be killed and buried, he is the only way to God. Strange as it seems to the apostles, the death of Jesus was the only way to destroy Satan, abolish death, and bring life and immortality to light through the gospel. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 10. He is the truth, the revelation of God to men, the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. That came, grace and truth. He is full of grace and truth. And grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John 1, 14 and 15. Christ's teaching is the only true teaching. For his teaching is God's teaching. The words which God gave him, he gave to the apostles. John 17, 8. And sent them into the world to teach the same to all nations. The world can receive the truth, the Word of God, only through Jesus Christ. He is the truth, and He is the life. Through Him were all things made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. John 1 and verse 4. Jesus states this as follows, For as the Father hath life in Himself, even so gave he to the Son also to have life in himself. John 5, 26. God is the source of all life. And Jesus is the Son of God, The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John 1:1 and John 1:14. Again, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. John 11:25. There is no spiritual life out of Christ, and this is life eternal, that they should know thee, the only true God, in him whom thou didst send, even Jesus Christ. John 17:3. Not to accept Jesus of Nazareth as the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, John 1:14, as no other one in heaven and on earth is the Son of God, is to reject eternal life. He only hath immortality, dwelling in light unapproachable. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 16. Hence Jesus says in this verse of this lesson, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no other way to reach God, and in none other is there salvation. For neither is there any other name under heaven that is given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Now for the next subheading of this Sunday school lesson, we read Christ and the Father are one. I want to read to you from John 1, and I'll read verses 7 through 12. Here we read, if ye had known me, ye would have known my Father also. From henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and dost thou not know me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou, show us the Father? Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I say unto you, I speak not from myself, but the Father, abiding in me, doeth these works. If ye had known me, you would have known my Father also, Jesus said. If the apostles had fully comprehended the divinity of Jesus, the full import of his sonship and mission, they would have seen God through him. He states frequently in this conversation that he is in the Father and the Father in him. He's speaking that way to speak of their relationship. The way to study and know God now is to study and know Christ, for he came from God. From henceforth ye know him and have seen him, our Lord said. Knowing Christ better, understanding after his resurrection and the ascension the nature of his kingdom and the nature of his work, they would see God in him. From henceforth, he said, and that means from his trial and crucifixion, all this would be a new revelation to the apostles, and they would soon be enabled to understand it. But Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. He did not understand that God is seen in Christ, and asked Christ to show the Father, that the apostles might behold him with the natural eye. We'll read verse 9 again, John chapter 14 and verse 9. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, and dost thou not know me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou, show us the Father? To know Jesus was to know God. To see him was to see God. He was God manifest in the flesh, 1 Timothy 3:16. He came to earth to do God's will and was a manifestation of God's mercy and grace and love and power. He had been with the apostles for more than 3 years. Hence he asked, have I been so long time with you, and thou knowest me not? Jesus further asked Philip, believe thou that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? Before this, Jesus had said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me," John 12:44. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, Colossians 1:15. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Colossians 2:9. Just as one sees the sun when he sees the radiance of the sun, so those who saw Jesus saw the effulgence of God's glory and the very image of his substance, Hebrews 1:3. So complete was the union between Jesus and God that God was in him teaching and performing the work he did. The words that I say unto you, I speak not from myself, but the Father abiding in me doeth his works. We read in John 14:11-12, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. Jesus exhorted the apostles to believe his statement that he was in the Father and the Father in him. But if they would not believe his statement, they should believe him for his work's sake, what he did, his miracles and mighty works. Show that he was in the Father and the Father in him. The works that Jesus did not only convinced the apostles of the fact under consideration and of the claims of Jesus, but faith in him would enable him to do the works which he did and more. And greater works than these shall ye do, Jesus said. The reason Jesus gives for making this declaration is because I go unto the Father. This reason helps us to understand what works he meant by greater works. He did not mean greater and more wonderful miracles, but greater work in extending the kingdom of God, preaching the gospel to the whole creation, and leading thousands to Christ. Christ was going to the Father, and they must continue the work on earth. And now we come to the subheading in this Sunday school lesson that's called Christ's Work in Heaven. Let me read John 14:13-14. Jesus said, And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye ask anything in my name, that will I do. Christ's work was not done because he went to the Father. He went there to make intercession. Wherefore also he is able to give to the uttermost them that draw nigh unto God through him, seeing he ever liveth to maketh intercession for them. Hebrews 7:25. He is the high priest, mediator, advocate to help them accomplish these greater works. Jesus promised that whosoever, whatsoever, they should ask in his name, that he would do. He would do this for the same purpose for which he had come to the earth and had done God's will here, namely, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. All Christians today and all work done by the church in obedience to God are the glory of God in the Son because they are the result of Christ's work. All petitions must be offered in faith and in Christ's name, that is, in submission to him and depending upon him. No prayer is acceptable to God unless offered in the name of Christ. No institution which omits the name of Christ can be Christian. Now we're coming toward the end of this lesson, and the subtitle is The World Cannot Receive the Holy Spirit. And the words are 15-17, but as I see the clock coming to a close, we're going to pick these words up in our next lesson and conclude this. But you may want to mark John 14:15-17.